You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Thursday, I speak to David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities and Viv Govender from Rand Swiss, both in Johannesburg. David, I'll start with you. Why is the S&P above 7,500?
7,494.
I'm looking at the June futures.
We haven't got above there. The high has been 7,497. That's a spot one. That's the spot. But it's beating on that door. And what scared me when I was listening, it could have been Goldman Sachs or someone like that said, oh, you know, our forecast is for 7.6 by the year end. And at that stage, I think it was below 7 or something. I said, okay, I can live with that. That's going to be great. But, you know, we're at 7.5 now, and where are we? May. There is a little bit of discomfort, but I must say, you learn to just sit back and relax and say, okay, let the market do what it does. Okay. I'm not going to try and fathom this out. NVIDIA now just keeps going higher and higher. It's been 6 or 7 days, I think, on the trot. Trading around, where's it trading now? It's some ridiculous price, which is not ridiculous. It's 235. Now, Lindsay, you've got, I don't know if he can remember where it was, but not too long ago, there was a sell off and they were back to 190 or something. So we 45.
No, it went way below
165, David.
Yeah,
way 165 in March.
In March, okay. 165 in March.
March.
Yeah. So you sit back and say, okay, Mr. Jensen Huang is in China. He's going to be selling some chips to China, whatever it is. But I'm not I'm just going to ride this out and not worry and enjoy it. I'm not going to brag. And I don't mean that in a bad way. You know, you want to keep it internally and say, okay, I'm very happy. Because my big fear is that as soon as we get too bumptious or too sure of ourselves, boom, the gods come and knock us out. You know, they bash us in our knees and we just tumble.
What I'm sensing now as somebody that has been interviewing people for, you know, a few decades, is that you don't know why, but you've got to stay with it. Viv off air was talking about something as well. And for the first time I've ever heard Viv Govender not really understanding why what he was describing to me, which is private, was going on. And Viv, when you see headlines like Cisco up 14%, I think to myself, where do I know Cisco from? I haven't heard Cisco for a long time. And then I remember Dimension Data. You used to look at Cisco's results to work out what Dimension Data was going to do on the JSE. Viv, it's starting not to make sense to me.
Yeah. Look, I mean, the market's basically pricing in like, you know, AGI probably by next year. Or, I mean, if you look at some of the valuations coming through right now, the predictions in terms of the valuations, I mean, we're about to see $6 trillion for the first time ever at Nvidia.
Nvidia.
You know, Google at $5 trillion. You know, these numbers are crazy. I mean, Micron continues to rally, you know, it's unbelievably, you know. It's hitting on 900 billion, probably going to hit $1 trillion in the way it's going in the next week or so. Who knows? We are seeing such incredible movements happening in this market right now. While if you look at the oil market, for instance, we look at what's happening with regards to diesel supply, you know, the world is not functioning properly at the moment. And, you know, there's a guy called Vaclav Smil. He's like Bill Gates' favorite, I don't know what you would call him. Like economist / you know, historian / whatever. And he says the world is founded on like four pillars. Okay. I believe they are fertilizer, cement, plastics, and ammonia. I believe steel. Hmm. So steel, cement, plastics, and fertilizer. And quite frankly, all of these things are under huge pressure at the moment because of what's been happening in the Middle East. And, you know, even places like the U.S., which you would think, you know, the U.S. is, people always say the U.S. is energy independent. No, the U.S. is a net energy exporter. It's a very different thing. What does it mean? Well, the energy comes in different forms. One of the things that the U.S. does not have the ability to produce enough of its own of is diesel. Mm-hmm. And what is diesel, you see? Okay, it's not just your drive, your car, your diesel car. It's farm equipment. It's mining equipment. It's trains. You know what I mean? It is basically the foundation of transport and a lot of other stuff in the modern economy. And quite frankly, the U.S. basically is going to have an issue with that. There's talks already. I mean, I think so today, India has stopped the export of sugar for like 4 months. The Modi come out with a statement just a few days ago where he was urging Indians to work from home and not to buy gold and a whole bunch of other stuff here. And I think they're down to like 60 days or so of reserves at the moment. California, as a case in point.
Oil, I'll just interrupt you. Oil reserves worldwide are at a 10-year low. Okay, I don't know what was happening 10 year lows 10 years ago, excuse me, 2016. But it wasn't anything dramatic. But the point is that they're drawing down on stocks all the time. When I say they, I mean countries that rely on oil. And if it carries on, when you wake up in the morning and you look at oil at 105 or 102 or 112, it doesn't matter what it is, you are now conditioned to know that it's above 100. And that wasn't the case 4, 5, 6 months ago when it was $60 to $70 a barrel. And that is hugely important. Once the stuff that they bought at 60 to 70 has run out, then they have to buy the stuff, if they can get it, above 100, 110, etc. And then we got a real problem. And Viv, in a way, we're saying the same thing. It's very scary. The fact that you two have invested in a sector that is doing so well, and hats off to you, doesn't make me feel comfortable, if you see what I mean. Something is – there's a disconnect somewhere.
When we start to worry – when our clients start to call us gurus, when they start to say to you, you know, you're gurus, you're so clever, I guess, now we're in trouble. You know, that's the end, because there are no gurus. But look, I'll celebrate it for the meantime. I'm not, I've been here long enough to know when things, you know, start to run out of, get out of hand. I want to just ask Viv also just to comment, or, you know, Lindsay, you yourself, just remember where we've come from. It was only a few months ago that everybody was concerned about an AI bubble. And there was huge amount of pressure.
That was December.
The shorts were full, yeah. Mm. You know, people were net short, of the market. And AI stocks or technology stocks were battling. And suddenly, it's like, you know, it's been let out. You know, the tiger's been let out the cage and is running amok. And, you know, that's what's happening now. Everybody's just accumulating. And it's still, Lindsay, it's still very, very concentrated. You know, this is not across the board. It's in stocks like suddenly, you know, Cisco today up 15%. Intel, I don't know what it is up of the year. It's in the hundreds of percents. And a lot of the semiconductors as well. The SOX, which is a semiconductor, there's a ETF, a semiconductor ETF. It's up 60, 70% this year. So you say, okay, you know. And it was a struggle to get people into it.
When you talk about gurus, David, your client phones you up and says you're a guru because you stayed with NVIDIA when it was 165, 170, and I heard you on that podcast with that idiot Williams, and he was saying, well, there is a bubble and it can't last because if you look back in history, these things never last. But you stayed with it, so you're a guru. A guru is knowing when to sell, and that is where you two become gurus. If one of you breaks ranks and says, okay, that's it, I'm taking 50% off the table, or something like that, something meaningful, instead of the 2-3% that you do regularly just to put some money in because it's one of your stocks is overweighted or something. No, the selling time is very important, and from what I'm hearing today, then you're going to get one or two more gaps on the market, shooting up the Ciscos and everything else, the AMDs of this world, and then suddenly it's all going to fall in a heap. But the other thing I said, if the NASDAQ fell 10% in one day and there was shock horror, it would still be only at 27,000. So it goes to 30,000. Yeah. 10% is what, 3,000? Yeah, down to 27. Exactly. When was the last time it was at 27,000? David, you can tell us from one of your graphs. It means nothing if it falls 10% in a day.
No. I know. That's why it just pays us, you know. And I'll get shock and awe, you know, if NVIDIA, which is 235, suddenly comes all the way back to 220. And I say, oh, my God. You know, oh. In the meantime, that's where it was 2 days ago or something. You know?
So, you're spoiling your clients. I want to tell you something now, which is very personal to David. But he shared it with Viv and I earlier on. So if I can work out on my phone how I can read something. Oh, here we go. I'm reading this to you, Shapiro. So here we go. Shep and Viv, that's what I've got here. Here it is. This is David sending a message to myself and Viv Govender. It has been a tradition in my family for me to draw a caricature of my boys and nephews for their bar mitzvahs. Now it's my grandson's chance. Seriously, I haven't been in the mood to draw, he says. So I go onto AI and ask to give a cartoon or outline to copy. I said I wanted to do a pen and ink drawing. I sent a photo. 5 minutes later, brilliant. And he sent the picture that the AI bot has sent him. It did one in football gear, but my daughter-in-law said I better make it religious. Still, there is no way I can compete. I'm in awe. I'm going to do this, i.e. sketching, as a hobby. Now, David, when I look at that picture... Yes, it's great, but it has no soul to it. Everything's perfect. What you need is, for example, if you see a model or an actress, you see her, she's got a gap in her teeth. That makes her beautiful. It's not the perfection of what they've sent you. Viv, over to you on this one before David comments.
I think it's the same thing as basically taking a helicopter to the top of Everest. It's not the same as climbing that mountain. You know what I mean? There is something to be said for the effort put into things. And with regards to AI, I think people would rate it like a C student. And it's possible. It's good. They're definitely better than most people. But there's something that human beings put into art, I hope, anyway.
Yes.
I like to believe so. I don't know if it's true. I like to believe so. That almost is magical. And I think that is something that we can't, ever have AI replace. With regards to like David's thing about socks, it's not even the year. Socks is up 71% in the last 6 weeks. You know what I mean? it's 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I was talking about my portfolio, and I'm not going to say how much it did, but it's happened in the last 6 weeks. It's happened since the end of March that the market has gone really crazy. And I'm trying to think of why that is. Look, we've had, obviously, the Mythos thing come out, and there's a company called Meter, M-E-T-R, right? Then they do a measurement of AI performance in terms of how long does it take to do certain tasks. So what they do is they get a bunch of humans that are expert at certain tasks, at certain things, and they have them do certain tasks and measure how long it takes. And then what they do is they measure how many, at what point in time, how many hours, how much time AI can do a task can be like 50% or so certain to do it right. Okay. And that amount of time is doubling roughly every 7 months. So if it's like a minute, it goes to like 2 minutes in 7 months, it goes to four in another 7 months. And in a few years' time, you're going from a minute to an hour to 2 hours. And once you get to the couple hour periods, you find that's almost all human work. Like big tasks to be done in a day's work or something. And the fact of the matter is that not only are we seeing this happening, this trend continue, but over the last couple iterations of this year, it seems that the actual speed of doubling is increasing. And that, I think, is what the market's seeing at the moment, is that they are starting to see real work being done by AI, and they're starting to see that the trends are starting to accelerate. And why is this? Well, quite frankly, it's because the AI is now helping them make the AI. And there's always been the thing in the AI sphere called FOOM, F-O-O-M, which basically means that it's when things start going exponential in terms of because the AI starts making better AI, which in turn makes better AI, which makes better AI. You know what I mean? And we are starting to see that at like Anthropic and other places, because they focused on programming, they are now starting to get programming done by AI, which makes things a lot better. And one last thing before I finish off here. When it comes to what can be done with AI that maybe not be done with human beings, there's something called assembly language. I don't know if you guys know what assembly language is. It is a fundamental. Yeah.
That was right at the beginning.
Then came
COBOL, assembler, COBOL, Okay.
And the reason we do COBOL and C and basically Java and all the other kind of things here and Python, etc., is because they are easier for humans to understand. But if you had to go and program everything in assembly, you'd be like 100 times more efficient with computer programming. You know what I mean? Because it'll be so much easier for the computer to handle that kind of thing. You ever wonder what happens when AI starts doing assembly language programming? Because the reason we don't do it is because it just takes too much time for a human to do this thing. It's just too complicated. That's not a restriction for AI. And I think that we are starting to see that kind of stuff come through. These things that were, you know, just not possible with human beings, but now becomes possible with AI. Things like assembly language. In we have driverless vehicles really taking off. You'll be able to basically order like something from the shop and have it delivered to your house for maybe 5-10% more than it costs at the shop in terms of like delivery service. I'm talking about small things like maybe a chocolate bar or something. Can you imagine what it means to basically order a chocolate bar and have it delivered to your house in like say 20 minutes or 10 minutes or 5 minutes? Mm-hmm. It depends on if they may be flying that drone. These are the kind of things that we are starting to see becoming viable in this space. And I think that's what the market is seeing at the moment.
Do you know
and
what? We are, go. Finish off. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
And that's why when it comes to the thing, the AI race and when I would sell is that I don't expect there to be no sell-offs. But the only time I will sell is when I stop seeing this doubling ratio carrying on the way it is. When I stop seeing the scaling working the way it is. Basically, when I stop seeing the science improve at the rate it's been currently improving. So long as the science improves that it's currently improving, doesn't matter what the valuation is, it's still going to be cheap in the long term. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that is why I'm still sticking by. But to be fair, Lindsay, I am nervous. I'm still human.
I can hear it. I can hear it in your voice, Viv. Exactly what you just said. You're a human. Normally you're very confident, but in a quiet and considered way. You've been rambling now, and not rambling in a bad way, rambling in a good
way.
You
know what?
But you are talking, I can't get out because I've got a fear of missing out, but I can see gaps on the charts. As you speak to me about Cisco at 15%, I can see so many shares that are gapping up from the previous day's close, and that's when you know it's over.
Viv brought up an incredibly important point and a wonderful description. I'm a pioneer in computer. Our firm back in the 1950s was the first firm in the country to use IBM, the RAMAC, or what they called the RAMAC 360, whatever it was. And everything was done in assembler. You couldn't find assembler programmers because they weren't around. It was such a new industry. And from that, I went after studying, after doing accountancy, I went to do a course in COBOL, you know, a 2-year diploma and learned. But I mean, even then, COBOL was very, very difficult, but it was a huge step up from assembler. And I remember I used to get stuck on having to do job control language. I mean, these were impossible. And then no sooner did I qualify, they came out with BASIC, which just made everything a lot simpler, you know, on a laptop, not on a laptop, on a desktop. So Viv, it's a very vivid description of how things are changing and what AI is doing. So even though that increased the pace of computer language, you know, and brought on from that, we got MS-DOS and, you know, where we are today. And now we're in a different realm.
Okay. So this also tells me something.
It makes a lot of sense.
We've spoken about this before, and I've put this to you both. The main stocks, the ones that are driving the market, they drove it in 2025. After Liberation Day, so-called, the market went – it didn't go parabolic, but it went up very nicely. But it was a narrow market. To me, it's been narrow up to now. But when I hear Cisco at 15%, then it's what I said a couple of weeks ago. What are the fringe companies? What are the auxiliary companies outside of the core that are going to do well? And they've already started, David, in spectacular fashion. So that's what you two have got to find.
You know
That justifies your guru status, but the true guru is the seller. But anyway, David, carry on, and then Viv can come to auxiliary companies.
Very interesting. Very interesting issues around this because we've been looking and delving into you mentioned a shortage of diesel, but for data centers it's going to be a shortage of power and a shortage of metals. And suddenly, I don't know if you've noticed, but you know, last year we made a big fuss about gold and platinum prices. All of a sudden
copper,
you've got copper at all-time highs. And, you know, you've got BHP up 40-odd percent this year, Glencore, Anglo-American, Rio Tinto, South 32, all of those are keeping the JSE afloat. Take that away, if the JSE is in deep trouble. I mean, it's down if you've looked at the retailers and so on. So those are the areas, you know, the copper is going to be incredibly important, even though you're going to use fiber optics and so on. So that's a massive thing. I don't know if you've noticed, but in the last 2 days, Ford is up something like 20%. Ford Motor Company. I'll tell you why. It's because they're going to convert one of their factories into a battery energy storage business. They've got it. Yeah, I promise you. They've got a deal with CATL, you know, which is the Chinese company. They've got a licensing agreement, Contemporary Amperex Technology Limited, I think that's what it's called, you know, lithium ion batteries. So they're going into what they call either E models or something to do with a small E, meaning, you know, into battery storage. So it's a complete change. Ford Motor Company. So you know this is what's happening as a result of all the development. So here's a company turned around. Why? You need storage. You need, you know, utilities need storage because of the new electricity that's going to be, or the demand for power and so on. So there's so many areas. The problem is that we've got to get away from the old companies, the Coca-Colas and so on, the Procter & Gambles and various businesses like that, the cigarette companies and that. And you've got to focus on where the economies are heading.
Last year there was a table that somebody told me about, and they said that this is the list of stock exchanges, their all share index, the equivalent of their all share index. This is how they've performed in 2025. What do you think is going to be the best performer in 2026? I said, well, and I just blurted it out, Chile. And the only reason I said Chile was because of copper. And copper. I don't know where it is, but I mean, copper consistently goes to all-time record highs. The copper price on the London Metal Exchange closed last night above $14,000 per ton. I mean, not per 10 tons, but per ton. And as I'm looking at it, well, I'll give it to you later on, but it's quite extraordinary. Viv, this is, I don't know. Maybe when you said, when I asked you where we are in the momentum cycle of AI, you said, imagine, Lindsay, somebody's just got a steam engine in Manchester, and you were referring to the Industrial Revolution. Do you still stand by that statement, Viv?
Yes. And one thing I want to point out, that in a market, what you want to do is find imbalances, right? And one of the imbalances that, like David's brought it up here, the energy stock. If you look at the amount of money going into, for instance, Micron and NVIDIA and all these guys here, Then you calculate how many do these guys have to make to justify this price. Then calculate how much energy do these chips require. And that's where the gap comes. There is not enough energy being added to the grid to basically power the chips that these companies are expecting to make to justify the valuation they have at the moment. You see what I mean? It's almost like you're seeing all those cars being sold out there, but you basically look at the petrol and think there's not enough petrol to basically fire up or to run these cars. And so that is why we are seeing some of the stuff happening. Now, the one caveat to this is that what could break this? It would be if the U.S. started to sell these things or allowed the sale of these things to China, because China has the energy to basically run them. So that's the one thing I think might be the thing that breaks this bottleneck. But if we don't have China coming in, then you basically have a mismatch in the market between the energy available and the amount of chips that are going to be available. And chips are not going to be the bottleneck by the end of the year in that environment or next year. Which I think maybe next year, definitely, but maybe even this year. It would be the amount of energy required to run these chips. Mm-hmm. And you are seeing out there at the moment, we talk about like Ford and so on, but there are actually, you know, industrial companies being bought out by these chip makers, or those chip makers, by these data companies, data center companies. And what they're doing is they're buying them just for the supply of energy. So these companies were making whatever, steel, whatnot, they have energy supplies or contracts with the grid. And if you just were to replace the steel company with data centers and just use the same energy, it suddenly becomes a viable business. And I think that is what we are seeing at the moment. And that's kind of what we saw, for instance, with regards to the XAI sale of Colossus One to Oriental to Colossus One to Anthropic, is that if you have this the infrastructure in place, quite frankly, with the chip and the energy, that is more valuable than either of those things separately at the moment.
Gentlemen, the dollar rand is 16.46. The British pound against the rand is 22.19. And the euro rand is 19.22. On to commodities. The gold price is flat on the day, $4,687 per ounce. It's a dollar play now. It's not a Iran, US, Israel play. Okay. Platinum. Wow. This is a horrible story. Down 5% on the day, 2,086 for platinum. Palladium down 4.75% to 14.63. Having a look at the oil price, again, we've become sanguine. We've become numb to the fact that it's above 100 every single day. Brent crude oil, 105. Okay, it's down 0.5%. 105.13, sorry, down nearly 0.5%. West Texas crude is par 78, $100.78 per barrel, down 0.25%. The copper price down 1.3%, $6.55 per pound, probably just below 14,000 on the London Metal Exchange. Incidentally, Nigel Farage, the potentially the new Prime Minister of the UK in the next few years, used to be an LME copper trader. The South African 10-year bond yield is 8.66%. The US 10-year bond yield got to 4.50 yesterday. We were talking about that. I don't know if Viv was poo-pooing me, but he listened with interest to me saying it's going to go to 5.56, the yield in the next year or so. It's currently 4.45%. And S&P 500 futures, yeah, it doesn't stop. It's up 0.8% to 7,528 for the futures. So we must, David, on the spot price, have gone through 7,500, I think.
I will tell you in a second.
Thank you very much. Extraordinary.
It is 7,508. Yep.
There you go. So it's gone through there. If you said to somebody the war in Iran, and if you said look who's in charge of the United States and see what he does when he goes to China, etc., goodness knows what the fallout will be if he says something. He's been well behaved so far, and you'd say, well, where's the S&P? They probably said probably about 5,000. No, it's on its way to 8,000. On the JSE today, David, why is Pick and Pay up 8.4%?
It's odd. There's been, I think they've been terribly oversold. There has been a turnaround or some bargain buying in some of the, in some of the retailers. I think it's also, you know, it owns a big share in Boxer. So it's the price is underpinned by Boxer, and I think they sold it down. Boxer's up nicely, so I think it's really being lifted by that. You're not paying anything for Pick and Pay.
R22.25 per share. Can you believe it? Yeah, but still up 8.4% on the day. Data Tech up 4.25%. That's a Cisco story. Maybe, I don't know. British American Tobacco. David spoke about that. 1,093.26 rand per share. 3.3% higher. Grindrod up 3.3%. Shipping story, obviously. Karoo on the downside after their results, down nearly 10%. Implats down 4.75% after that PGM story. Horrible day for them. Valterra down 4.1%. Tungela down 4%. And African Rainbow Minerals down 3.5%. Viv, do you ever get tempted not to look at the JSE when you look at your portfolio elsewhere?
Yeah, I do. I mean, just talking about the Boxer thing, I mean, David said it values nothing. They're valuing Pick and Pay as negative at the moment. The Pick and Pay is worth, I mean, the stake of Pick and Pay right now is worth less than its stake in the current valuation in Boxer. I mean, that is a discrepancy of note, I would think. But in terms of South African markets, look, last year it was one of the three best performing markets in the world in dollar terms. This year, there are issues, but there's still areas of value, like David mentioned, you know, the copper producers, some of the things in South Africa are still valuable. But overall, I don't think we're going to have as good a year this year by any means as we did last year.
David?
You know, Lindsay, I just, that Karoo story, You know, this is a favorite. This has been something that everybody's pursued and hasn't let anybody down today. And the first time, and I don't know the reason, and, you know, just going through the market before we came on air, looked at the results, and you've got profitability down.
Mm.
You know, all the other metrics are up, revenue and clients and so on. And I don't know, and it's a trading statement, so I don't know the backdrop to it. The margins were down. But this is the first crack we've seen. And I don't like those things. You know what I mean? I don't like suddenly all these – a stock like this, which has been so well followed by the market. And, you know, when you start to see cracks in there – whatever it is that's taken it down, then you've got to be concerned.
Is this the time when someone like Buffett would sell? Because when he sees anything that doesn't seem quite right, he says, that's it, I've had a good run, I'm out of this thing,
we
and doesn't even look at it afterwards.
We need to look at the results. You know, this was just a short-form announcement. So I don't know. In fact, I'm going to go through it now, but no, in fact, it's not a short-term. It's quite a big announcement. So the details will be there, but – this is surprising. The fact that the market cracked it like this, you know, you don't know whether this is a once-off or whether there is something that, you know, addressed. I see the same thing in clicks. When you start to see structural issues, nothing to do with the economy or anything, when structural issues start to appear, breakdowns in their systems and, you know, little hiccups like that, particularly for companies that have never let us down, then I get worried. You know, then I say, okay, you know, take a step back. Just have a closer look.
Quite right. Viv, I read the sort of transcript of an interview with a very well-known fund manager, a South African fund manager, and he says, I love investing in stock markets where there are delistings, consistent delistings over the years, because that means that the private investors with lots of money and lots of sense can see value, so they buy the company, take it off the JSE. Other people, like David, for example, might say this is the sign of a dying market because they don't need to be on the JSE. It's too expensive, and therefore the company's not doing well. That means you should avoid the JSE. I don't say that's me putting words in your mouth, David. But Viv, what would you say? Would you say I want to be in a market like that because people see value? They're taking them off the market, or you take the potential David Shapiro stance?
Look, I would think if you had to look at one of the hottest markets in the world right now, it's like the US markets, where we might have $1, $2, maybe even $3 trillion listings in the next year, IPOs. Mm. I think that's a much stronger market because there's obviously, yes, there are, you know, you could argue maybe why are you listing, why are you putting stuff in the public market? Because nowadays people list because of the fact that they want to get liquidity for, you know, early investors, etc. Delisting, on the other hand, yes, maybe some people are finding value there, but they're often not taking things out at high levels. They're taking things out that have fallen so dramatically, and they think, like with the case we talked about right now at Pick and Pay, that there must be some value in this company. It can't be negative value, and therefore you want to buy into that. I think it's a far healthier thing to have listings than delistings longer term. Shorter term, you might say the market's undervalued because there's delistings, but longer term is the sign of a very sick market to have, you know, more delistings than listings.
Okay, David, talking about sick markets. And that's probably not what I should say, but give me the closing indices on the JSE, please.
We closed flat or down 0.2%, down 18 points at 117,362. Because of the reason you mentioned, resources were down because of the platinum price, gold price, and so on. But strangely, diversifieds were also down. So the resource index down 1.5%. Financials and industrials steady, although the top end of the industrial market was under a little bit of pressure. But that was it. There were more gainers than losers. And there was a recovery in retailers, which have been hurt very badly. We've seen a little bit of a recovery there, and also a recovery in property stocks, which have been hurt as well lately. I'm just going to look at the volume trade today. Very low. This I haven't seen for a long time. Just about 18 odd billion. The interesting thing is Naspers are back on the track. They sold out of one of the companies, delivery companies. They've got cash, so they're back to buying back their shares. So Naspers and Process dictating or dominating the trade on the JSE. But very, very quiet day.
Yeah, it's a European holiday over here, so maybe that's something to do with Ascension Day, so that may be a factor. But anyway, gentlemen, thanks so much for your time. Viv Govender is from RAND Swiss and David Shapiro from Sasson Securities, both in Johannesburg. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.